This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Hunter, who is president of the Alliance for Retirement Prosperity. In a recent opinion piece for the Washington Times, Dr. Hunter suggests that the people most hurt by not allowing the Bush tax cuts to be extended for all tax brackets are actually minorities, specifically African Americans. He joins me now to explain why he believes that's the case. And Dr. Hunter, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Well, the line we hear from those opposed to extending the tax cuts for the wealthiest of Americans say that it's just a giveaway to the rich. They're not going to spend the money, put it back in the economy, which will lead to stronger businesses and more job creation. So what have you discovered that makes you think that that conventional wisdom is very much incorrect?
Well, the fact of the matter is the so-called Bush tax reductions are history. They've been on the books now for 9 years, and just like the Reagan tax cuts and the Kennedy tax cuts, in historical context, they are the tax code. So we're not talking about whether or not to cut anybody's taxes. We're talking about whether to raise taxes for anyone. As this economy continues to struggle, it makes absolutely no sense to raise tax rates on anyone, certainly not on the productive sectors where this administration has really got their sights aimed on capital gains taxes, on dividend taxes, on interest income. That would definitely ensure a double-dip recession, in my opinion.
In terms of how this affects minorities the hardest, what's the evidence for that?
The reason this really impacts African Americans is they've had a continuing depression among their working force. Unemployment for African Americans is running in excess of 16%. Unemployment for teenagers is running 23%, and a large share of that are unemployed young black men. So if they decide to raise taxes in some misguided sense of class warfare, it will boomerang back on those who are struggling the most to find a job and make ends meet, because when tax increases tank this economy again, it will be they who suffer the most.
In your opinion piece also, Dr. Hunter, you offer four different procedures that you believe should be followed in order to revive American prosperity. First of all, as you've already articulated, the debate really isn't about whether to cut taxes, but to allow tax increases or the expiration of those lower taxes. Number two is to cut income tax rates across the board by a third. So you're suggesting not only keeping the rates where they have been since the Bush tax cuts were approved nearly a decade ago, but actually significantly reducing them again. Explain what impact a cut of that magnitude would have.
Absolutely. I wrote a piece a little over a week ago before the piece in the Washington Times, in which I asked the question, what would Kennedy, Reagan, and Kemp do in the face of this struggling economy? And I think there's no doubt that they would cut tax rates across the board. The economy is not coming back. The economy is now growing on an annual basis at less than 1.5%, and there's no good indication that investment is picking up. And so with tax rates, the top tax rate in the 37% bracket, it is far higher than even John Maynard Keynes, the liberal economist icon, said that tax rates should be. You know, Keynes never supported any tax rate above 25%. He said it was counterproductive and economically damaging. And I hearken back to what Jack Kemp used to say all the time. If you want to soak the rich, cut their tax rates, because when you lower the top tax rate, you encourage people to invest their money, to start businesses, to take risks. And that, frankly, is what this economy needs to get going again. If you raise taxes on the most productive sector, they will withdraw their money, and this economy will go into another contraction.
Dr. Hunter, point three in your opinion piece is to reduce federal spending levels back to 2008, which is exactly what has been suggested by House Republican leader John Boehner. What is so significant or even magical about 2008? There are a lot of people who in 2006 and 2008 thought government spending was way too high then. So what's significant about that particular level?
Well, if you look at that level, I not only encourage cutting spending back to that level, I also suggest that it should be done under the constraint that no cuts occur to Social Security or to Medicare. And the reason being is because we have a compact with seniors. We can't go in and cut those programs. They need to be reformed for the long run, but you cannot reform them by taking a hatchet to the programs the way the Obama administration has attempted to do with Obamacare, in which they're really gutting Medicare. So what I've suggested is to hold those programs at their current levels, that whatever the law requires, we have a compact with our seniors. And then if you bring the whole budget, the whole total federal budget, back to 2008 levels, what that will entail is about a 25% cut in the rest of the budget. Now, that's an order of magnitude that makes sense. It's what the state of Virginia is looking at doing. It's what the new governor in New Jersey is looking at. It's what the new conservative government in Britain has suggested. In fact, it's along the same lines that most American families have had to do. They've had to struggle and cut back. So there's no reason this government can't go in and cut programs, eliminate some programs. It's time to get serious about reducing the size of government. A 25% reduction in the non-Social Security, non-Medicare portion of the budget makes perfect sense.
The last item on your agenda, the final point you make in the column, Dr. Hunter, is to clean house of the entrenched staff bureaucrats at the Joint Committee on Taxation and the Congressional Budget Office. Some might see that as kind of being in the weeds. We don't really know who those people are. So how would changing them make a huge difference? Why is that so key?
Well, it is a huge difference because that's the one thing that Republicans failed to do the last time they had control of the Congress. I happened to be a staff director of the Joint Economic Committee at that time, and I told Dick Armey right after the Republicans took control that if you don't get control of the people who estimate the numbers, they will take control of you. And that turned out to be the case. And although to your listeners it may sound in the weeds and arcane, it's very important for one simple reason. Because it is the number crunchers at the Congressional Budget Office and the Joint Committee on Taxation that make estimates of what would happen if we cut tax rates. They have a stubborn refusal to reflect the fact, the empirically demonstrated fact, that if you cut marginal tax rates, it will spur economic growth. It will increase more productive activity and the economy will grow. As a consequence, the tax base will grow. And any revenue loss that you might calculate from an across-the-board tax cut will be substantially less than if you don't take that into account. And so what happens is, for many, many years now, this entrenched bureaucracy has an ideological predisposition against cutting tax rates, and so they pretend that cutting tax rates will not improve the economy. On the other side of the coin, when the Democrats and the liberals want to raise tax rates, they refuse to reflect the fact that that has a dampening economic effect. It's vitally important that if the new Congress sets out to cut the budget and cut tax rates, that they have honest accounting in estimating the effects of those policy changes. That's the reason I recommend they clean house.
Dr. Hunter, very interesting. We thank you very much for your insights today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Larry Hunter is president of the Alliance for Retirement Prosperity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.